2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." That's all. This verse is a great overview of the whole book. We're going to talk about that tonight. But these four things that Paul tells Timothy, and here God is speaking these to us: be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would speak to us tonight, and pray that your word would go forth. We thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Be watchful in all things. Be sober with seriousness of purpose. I want to jump to 1 Thessalonians 5:5. We talked about this. We've been through Thessalonians and now Timothy. Paul here in Timothy is just getting over saying in the last days there's going to be perilous times and there's going to be people who are not going to want to hear sound doctrine. So we need to be watchful, and here it reiterates it. The day of the Lord in the last days here. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Who has ever... I'm going to share a kind of silly example, and it's going to progress here. But who has ever put your hands on the keyboard and you're typing away and you look up on your screen and it's all gobbledygook because your hands are not in the right position? We got to watch where we put our hands, make sure they're right on the right notes. I've done that on the piano. If you're not in the right position, not going to sound right. Got to watch and be sober. I was writing these notes, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, yes. I was writing these notes, and it's a pen. The ink was running out, and I was just writing away and all feverish. Nothing was coming out. Have to watch. We have to watch. Now, those are some silly examples that don't matter all that much, I guess, unless we're at Carnegie Hall or we're typing some report for court, but just at home, I guess it's fine if you have to push backspace and retype it out. Some more serious examples we can get into. This is a personal example. There was a lie that was going around, and Sarah and I were talking about it, and we knew it existed. And it was back in October, and now this lie has compounded and gotten worse and festered, and here it is January, and it's this huge big lie that's blown out of proportion. We need to watch, be sober, always be looking, especially as Paul was talking to Timothy. You know, Timothy's here, a young pastor. These wolves are going to come in, and a lot of the persecution that Timothy was going to face was going to be inside the church, and be ready to deal with it, to nip it in the bud, and to just watch, be sober, always be sober. Now, being sober, there's another example that we commonly look to, and we'll go there tonight, being drunk. Now, I heard this, and I didn't know Bill was going to be here, so I'm getting intimidated, but there's a dose relationship. I talked to an allergist this this week. And I felt all confident because he explained it. He explained it so wonderfully. And he said there's a dose relationship. And a dose relationship. So the more alcohol, let's go to alcohol, the more alcohol, the more dose that you take, the more it's going to affect you. If you take a sip, it's not going to affect you all that much. If you take a glass, okay, and then it starts coming. And more and more and more, the more dosage you have, the more it's going to affect you. And I guess like with any drug. And so then you start loss of mobility, loss of acuteness of your brain, and loss of consciousness, death. You know, we can go to that extreme. It can go there, but there's a dose relationship. Why I bring this up is this is how soberness is. This is where it starts, being sober. One of the first teachings I ever did was Peter. And you don't, as a believer, you don't just wake up one morning and deny Christ. You just don't do it. It is a progression. It's a dose. It's a dosage of sin here and a dosage of sin here, and it keeps progressing. And that's like with the life of Peter, and we looked at it. You know, he started off good with saying, "Yes, you are the Son, you are Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God." And then he compromises a little and little, and then he says, "You can't suffer these things, Lord. You can't do that." And it starts. And by the time they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, "Watch, be sober, watch and pray." And here they're all falling asleep. And then before you know it, there Peter is denying Christ. So we got to watch. We got to watch and be sober. In Peter, this is really neat because we get to see after the fact, you know, when Peter was restored and now he's writing the epistle, and it breathes on all the stuff that he learned from being with Jesus. And chapter 4, verse 7, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." This week, Sarah and I have been getting over and over again in the Word, pray, 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 keep praying. And we haven't done enough of that, and we need to do more. But that's a great way to remain sober. So watch in all things. Back in Timothy. Endure afflictions. In chapter 2, we learned that Paul says to Timothy, "Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be strong. Be a good soldier. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He also gives, this is more of a review, but he gives some motivation on why and how we can endure afflictions. If you're a good soldier, it's going to please God, he says in the next couple verses. Why Paul endured some things that he endured for the elect's sake, so that those who were elected, those who knew God, were going to come to God. If we suffer, here's another motivation, we shall reign with him. And then Jesus says, happy are you, blessed are you, if you suffer. He gives us some motivation to endure. Some long-suffering. Pressing through the pain. This is the definition I gave it. Pressing through the pain. Keep going on in love and purity. Don't numb out. Don't seek revenge. Don't give in to sin. Stay close to Jesus and endure to the end. Timothy saw Paul suffering afflictions. And throughout the whole book of Timothy, he's reminding Timothy of these are some of the things that you're going to happen. He doesn't sugarcoat it, that's for sure. He says these are some of the things, this is some of the reality of being a Christian.
We'll look at that really quick. Rejection, 1:15. This you know, that also in Asia have turned away, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So two good friends turned away from him, rejected him. 2:9, he suffered trouble similar to an evildoer, even to the point of chains. He was bound, but the word of God is not bound. He lists in chapter 3 those that in the last days perilous times will come, and I'm sure he was came under some of these things that he describes. The one that stuck out to me, maybe because it's happening to us now, is false accusations. People are going to bring false accusations against you. That's 3:3. Persecutions in 3:11. He endured persecutions, afflictions, and it says, you know that I've done all that. Persecutions. And then much evil in 3:13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse. There's going to be evil men that are going to come against you. And then finally in 4:9, kind of where we started, that rejection of men, he says, forsaken, 10. For Demas, be diligent to come to me quickly, 9:10. For Demas, another brother, has forsaken me, having loved this present world. So these are some of the practical applications of some of the things that we can expect. Don't be shocked by it. In Peter, where we're reading, it says, don't think it's strange that you're going to come under, that you're going to have to endure, that you're going to suffer affliction. It's part of it. Number 3, the third thing he says, chapter 4, 5. Do the work of an evangelist. Tell others about Jesus. Keeping in mind, always keep in mind those who don't know Jesus. Tell them the way of salvation. Now we realize that this is a gift, a specific gift in the church from Ephesians 4, 11. But, and here Paul is talking to Timothy here, Timothy, a young pastor, and it seems that Timothy would have the gift of being a pastor. But even having that gift, he has to keep this in mind. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't forget about, even when you're preaching, he says, preach the word, we learned last week. But in that, keep in mind evangelists telling about Lord. I wanted to go into spiritual gifts a little bit for this one and the next one. Let's read the next one first. Fulfill your ministry. Now, what is that? Fulfill whatever God wants you to do. Fulfill God's calling on your life. So in that, Ephesians, with that in mind, Ephesians 4. Jumping too far here. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We're going to jump to 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it keeps going and describing. Romans 12. A man that poured into me was telling Bill this. Elston, he said, you can always remember where the spiritual gifts are. It's easy. It's Ephesians 4, and then Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. 12, 12, and 4.
Okay.
Romans 12, we're going to read verse 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching, he who exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And he goes on saying that love is going to supersede all these, and it's going to direct all these. 1 Corinthians 12. I know this is a lot of reading, but I just wanted to read it all and get it out there and refresh us, and if no one knew this, then to declare it. Now, 12, 1 through 12, we're going to read another big chunk. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. And then it goes on in the end of chapter 12 saying about the body, and it gives us the picture of the body and how we're all members. And why this comes to mind, and this is where it was directed, is, you know, God has called each one of us to fulfill a specific purpose and a specific calling. And each one of it is different, and that's good, and that's okay. And as we fulfill that, we are part of Christ's body, and we fulfill and we make up the church, and we carry out what God wants us to do. In the commentary I was reading, and it said, I told Jason this, it said, a young preacher was coming to Charles Spurgeon, and he was saying, you know, my church only has a lot less members than your church, basically what he said. And Charles Spurgeon said, well, that's good for you, because you're going to have less people accountable on the day of judgment. You know, less souls are going to be on your head. It encourages me, you know, we are only accountable for what God calls us to. And right now, I know I'm called to my family. I know I'm called to preach the word. But yet, it's also, so I know what I'm doing, what I'm supposed to be doing. But yet, there's another piece that's coming
that is really God is making it happen, and God's directing us and really solidifying us and me to fulfill my ministry, fulfill what specifically God has called us to do. And I don't know if we're there yet. I don't know if we fully got it or understood it or embraced it, but I know it's coming right around the bend for us specifically. And the same for all of us. You know, I encourage you, if you don't know, seek it out, and God will show you and fulfill your gift. If you do know, continue in it and be strong and be bold. My brother-in-law, both my brother-in-laws, shared a toast at my wedding. And, yeah, Jason was one of them. It was really good. I'll never forget it. I will be cast into the utter depths if I hurt Sarah or but that was excellent. But Scott said, he says, you know, you guys, you have a lot of vision, but you, in the same sense, you don't have one vision. You have a lot of visions. You don't have one vision. And when you and Sarah come together and you fulfill that one vision, it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be what God has for you. So that's kind of how this all speaks to me, and fulfilling our gifts and receiving our gifts and just doing what God's called us to do, nothing more, nothing less, but to do what God's called us to do. You know, I've seen with a lot of my family, they did a lot of what God wasn't calling them to do, so they got burnt out, to be honest, and we're praying for that to be renewed. So I don't want to be that. I don't want to be burnt out, and I pray you wouldn't be burnt out in serving the Lord, but that you'd be on fire and that you'd fulfill what God's calling you to do. But that's all. I think that's enough. It's a lot to take in, but on the other hand, it's not at all. It's just right where He has us. Let's read it one more time. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. There was one more verse that's coming to mind, but I think we read it. Yeah, we read it. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you would enable us to do this, and not in our own flesh, of course, because it's just going to fail and falter, but only by your Spirit, and as we receive and carry out your gifts and that you've given us, and fulfill our ministry, continue to show us where that is and direct us. And your word is living, and it changes as we go forward and as we learn and grow, and just to be in tune, to be in step with you and in step with your Spirit. We thank you for this, and take away any condemnation that we may have, we're not doing what you called us to do. Help us be confident in where you're calling us, and do help us be sober above all, and be vigilant. And Satan's out there, and he wants to defeat us and destroy us. And we pray we can be watching and watchful. And then, as we're going to learn next week, to love your return, waiting for you and watching for you as well. And I pray that you would continue to do what you're doing in our lives, and we know you're good. And we think of those that aren't here. We do pray that you would direct us into what the ministry here is, and specifically for tonight and the vision, and reconfirm and reestablish and help us go forward and in you and the youth, Lord. It's to cling to you and to come to you and to be close to you, Lord. And that's our desire. And we pray that that would be accomplished. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.